We survived another 24-hour Orathon, part 16, and we're here to talk all about it. Hi, my name's Jesse Kasem, and I'm here to tell you about all these movies we watched in the theater within a 24-hour span, give or take, we left a couple times. Joining me today is Casey Kasem's cub sheet, Stephanie... Last name a mystery.
Is Casey Kasem dead? He died, right?
Casey Kasem is not alive.
I don't know.
But he lives on in the spirits of everyone.
So we tried doing the math and to see what our first Exhumed Films Horrorthon was, and we believe it is either the seventh or eighth one they did.
And we went in 2013?
Because you just got, because Steph just got, we were thinking it was the first one we went to was in 2014, but then Steph got a little like memory thing on Facebook and it was us at whatever one it was.
In 2013. Yeah.
So that's a year extra.
Yeah.
And I think they only missed 1 year. So that would be, the first one would be the seventh one we went to then.
Right.
If they only missed 1 year because of COVID. I think it was only 1 year.
I know. I can't remember.
Because it was kind of like, COVID slash the...
Well, the international house closed.
And they did the last one.
Yeah.
And then they skipped a year because they were going to figure out a new venue. And they were going to skip the next year anyway before while they figured things out.
Right,
and COVID happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's crazy that we've been going for this fucking long.
It is crazy.
And now the last... Was this the third year at the Colonial? Or the second?
feel like... It was the third year because the first year we sat on the balcony.
It has to be the third because
second year we
Jackson
sat,
was never at the International House and he told me this was his third one.
Yeah, this is
Jackson
the third.
Comes from Portland every year. We met Nikki the Fox from Instagram.
I didn't.
You didn't. You were gone very briefly anyway, but super cool dude. And I love the Colonial House for this event now. I had more stamina this year than I ever had. I think I slept only 20 minutes like for the whole thing. We left like the last two movies, but we'll get into it now. This episode's not going to be super long like the last episode was. We're just going to talk about the 24-hour because I think last year we shit happened and we just didn't talk about it at all. And people love these episodes and it's just fun to recap and stuff. Plus, it'll be good for Beer John because Beer John didn't get to go. Kelly didn't get to go this year. They had like a wedding thing to do and I missed them.
Drew wasn't there.
We kind of like still had a good group of people though.
Yeah.
My knees, because we sat on the balcony, were destroyed, but actually like I didn't feel terrible. I don't know. Steph like felt like shit and I was like, actually I don't feel, usually my back is fucking kill me. I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah. It was my lower back, my butt.
So they started the, and I will say, just before we even talk about any of the movies, this is one of my favorite horrorthons in a while. There was, I think the movies were, there wasn't a lot of really terrible movies I didn't like there usually is, where like things I can't even sit through. Like all these movies were pretty much very enjoyable. And started off, I don't ever agree with like the pacing of like somehow the way the movies are laid out sometimes is very questionable to me, but I don't know. I think like you should start strong and then do some like, but they start off with a very strange movie. So what was the first movie they played, Stephanie? The
first movie was Targets from 1968, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. And I was like, I recognize that name. Jess, do you know what he did? He directed?
Bogdanovich?
Uh-huh.
My cousin Vinny.
No, he didn't direct that. He directed, well, first of all, Tom Petty music video.
Oh, horse teeth.
But
old straw hat horse teeth himself.
That's not what I wanted to tell
you.
Running Down a Dream.
I used to think that song was Running Down the Drain.
Oh.
Running Down the Drain. Never come back again.
Like he's being flushed away?
Like he's just like running down the drain. Like he's being flushed away, but he's just going with it. So that's what I would always think. And then when I heard it was Running Down a Dream, I was like, I don't like this song as much anymore.
Yeah. So, I can't find it. Oh, he directed Mask with Cher.
With Turnip Head.
Yeah.
Old Turnip Head himself.
Old Turnip Head.
That's Casey Kasem's son, Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, yeah.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, I mean, he directed a lot, but he also directed a movie called That Thing Called Love.
Imagine if you were supposed to be in this awesome movie called Back to the Future, and then they're like, and then they told you, you sucked so bad in that fucking movie, we're going to film the movie again, but with somebody else, because you fucking sucked so bad. Would you just stop being an actor? Because he was like young.
But he didn't.
I would be like.
Because he was in Fly 2.
And he was, and guess what? He was quickly forgotten anyway. Like, quickly forgot. What is Stoltz doing nowadays?
Now I have no idea. Yeah. It's funny because the last thing.
He's not Stoltz in it.
I'm like, what was the last thing I remember him in? I'm sure there's something after it, but Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, no.
It's like the thing that always sticks out to me.
I think like he deserves to have like a James Spader resurgence.
Yeah.
You know?
You think he's puffy like the Spades?
No one's puffy like the Spades. No
anyway,
one.
He also directed a movie called
That's a Beanbag Boy.
The Thing Called Love, which I love this movie.
That's about the Beatles,
Samantha
right?
Samantha Mathis and River Phoenix. I think it was
about the Beatles.
I think it was his last movie.
And Tom Hanks is in it, right? Died.
No. Anyway, I love that movie. I watched it a lot when I was young.
That thing you do.
I love that movie also. So anyway, the synopsis of this movie is an aging horror star questions his place
in modern
Hollywood while a disturbed young man goes on a killing spree. It sounds like they're two different movies, right? It's the same.
No, they are two different movies. They just thought like it would be really like, I think this is what I'll say about the movie. I didn't hate it. I didn't massively enjoy it. I do think it was ahead of its time, but also it's very like this guy's crazy, but it's like the 50s, so it's like he's just like totally fine, and then he just goes on a killing spree for no fucking reason whatsoever. There's no like weird build up to it. It's just like I don't know.
They do like insinuate that he has been having like some urges and stuff, but you don't really see any of that.
It's very I
did not particularly like this movie. Because for one, it was what, like more exploitation maybe, right? It wasn't really horror to me. What, because Boris Karloff was in it?
Yeah. I think, well, here's the thing I will say real quick. I like the Boris Karloff stuff more because there was like good jokey stuff in there. And then it was just like really weirdly stitched together and poorly edited together with like a shooter thing. And then they just happened to like meet at the end. And I was just like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, Boris Karloff, hardy har. I know he was like a big fucking horror star, whatever, Phantom of the Opera, blah, 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 Curse of the Mummy and all that stuff. But like, I don't care that like he's just in it at the end just to punch a guy one time and he's the hero and he like, because the guy doesn't have a bullet left or something.
I mean, for me, and maybe I'm just feeling a little sensitive.
And I have a Phantom of the Opera fucking tattoo.
Yeah. Well, he was great in it. And I mean, I
love Universe. I love Hammer Horror. I love all that shit.
I just feel like for me personally, like this movie was like the reality that we live in. We're like,
yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that, but I see what you're saying.
I just not into it. I'm so
numb inside from all the shootings in Philadelphia that like that didn't really bother me per se. It wasn't like, it wasn't super like, I think that's why I think it was ahead of its time, because it actually went there with like the killing and stuff that. And that part was pretty grisly, but I think there was just like a disconnect by what was going on and what they were showing, because to me the movie was just super fucking slow, dude.
It was
just like
slow.
Oh, now I gotta go watch this guy buy guns again. Oh, now I gotta watch him
load up his guns. Oh,
he's gotta load up all his guns. I gotta watch him load up every single of his 60 guns, and I gotta watch him drive to the place that he wants
to
go to.
I gotta watch him drop a gun on the ground, and now I gotta he drops another gun on the ground.
I gotta watch him get all his snacks out when he's on his like little sniper thing, because I did connect with that because of my sniper past.
Right.
Like I was
everyone knows about it now.
But like,
that's right.
I was also like, just because you were a sniper doesn't mean you're gonna like become like a sniper for real deal.
Right.
Like, only in combat, you know.
Oh yeah.
But I would never go out there in the street and start sniping people because it's just like, you know,
it's not the right thing to
that's
do.
That's like not Semper Fi, bro.
No, I mean, I don't think it was a bad movie. I just like wasn't in the mood for it, I think. So
it was a good start, but it was just a little too slow for me for a start. I think I would have liked this movie to be over like in the early hours of the like, you know, like 1 a.m. because I would have been like, it would have been like it would have fit my brain power, because my brain power would have been dampening down, and that movie kind of was like that.
Well, I think like last year they started off super strong with The Exorcist. I mean, you got to come out with like a blockbuster, you know.
Blockbuster,
that's what I think.
Yeah,
anyway, movie number two,
Leopard Man.
The Leopard Man from 1943.
No, there's no Leopard Man. It doesn't exist. It's a lie.
The synopsis. A seemingly tame leopard used for a publicity stunt escapes and kills a young girl, spreading panic throughout a sleepy New Mexico town.
Was this This was black and white.
It was.
Yeah. I fucking love the way this movie looked.
Yeah, this movie was really good.
The sets were so cool. I love black and white movies because there's a sharp contrast and stuff like that, but they don't always look that way. Like, they don't always look good. There's not always, like, great cinematography. This movie had fucking amazing cinematography. It was basically, like, a whodunit kind of movie. Not like Clue, though.
No, nothing can be Clue.
But, like, more of, like, there's, like, a good humor in it, I'll say. Yeah. Because, like, the one character that, this guy comes to town and he has, like, a leopard. And I don't know what happens, like... He lets somebody borrow it.
He lets someone like rent out the leopard so that this like
she can seem like she's rich.
This actress, no, just like so she could be the star of the show
for Instagram, steal it for TikTok.
It's stealing from that lady with the cucarachas in her hand.
Oh my god, that bitch was so fucking annoying.
What are they called?
They're like little chimes. Not like the Asian balls that you twirl around in your hand that have the things in them. But they're like
balls. No, these are. No, these are
like Ben Eller bells,
like a flamenco dancer has like the little clippy things.
Ben Eller bells.
Yeah. I think that was the whole point. So she could. It was a publicity stunt, so she could take the like be the center of the
of everyone. And it just runs away.
And it runs away
because the bitch with the bells. Because
she scares it on purpose.
And like she wasn't even properly trained how to fucking handle this animal. It could have just killed, ate a baby, and then she would have. Right. It would have been like your agent would have been like, "This is not a good idea because if that leopard eats a baby while it's on your leash, your career is over."
Also, that was a tiny leopard.
It was.
What? It was like a baby.
But listen, don't take much. Don't take much for a leopard to take your life.
It's probably true
because we're all just like I was trying to use a caulk gun today. And the caulk gun was so hard to use that I blew out my shoulder and my elbow.
Yeah.
That's how out of shape I am. So do you think I'm going to fight even a baby panther, leopard, tiger, tigress? No. It's going to kill me.
Yeah, even a bobcat.
I'm going to die. It's
bad news for you.
I love bobcats. They're adorable.
Yep.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. Leopard Man was cool. There was no Leopard Man in it. They make you think that there's going to be a Leopard Man in it because in the beginning, when the leopard escapes, it bites like a guy's, a waiter's hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and it shows a close up of their hand and it looks like a Muppet Mickey Mouse hand with like cuts in it. And I'm like, oh shit. But no, that never happens.
No.
Doesn't.
It's okay though. Cause it's still a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. Next movie though, I will say, I always knew I loved this movie, but I never saw it in the theater and I never got to see it with a group of people. And it fucking made this movie kick so much more ass. Made me love it even more than I already love it. What is the movie?
What, Tremors?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was so excited. I mean, everyone cheered when the title came up.
Because it's just like a fucking hardcore cast. Everybody's given a 10. The fucking monster effects are awesome. I love this movie. It was like one of my I've rented it all the time movies.
Right.
Constantly. And I remember the first time I watched it, we had a babysitter and she brought it over and she's like, oh, I got this movie Tremors. And I was like, oh shit. I used to look at that box all the time in it, but I didn't rent it yet. And we watched it. And I just remember like my mind was blown. And it has like this thing where it's like super fun. It's almost like reminds me of Gremlins in a way. Cause it's got like the humor. But it's also like pretty fucking evil. Like at the same time, like there's parts of that movie that disturbed me as a kid that like even rewatching, I'm like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Like when the fucking, my favorite scene as a kid was when the station wagon gets sucked under the ground, under the sand. And the way they do like the lights in the distance, you could see the lights and they go out.
Uh-huh.
I fucking thought it was great. But like also Steph, let's talk about your love interest, Kevin Bacon's hair. Because what's going on with that?
I don't know what was happening with his hair.
Does he have like curly hair and he straightens it?
No,
what it looks like in this movie.
His hair is very straight.
His hair looks like when I used to have a beard and I used to straighten it and it just looked weirdly straight.
Yeah.
His hair looks like that in this.
I think it's like the haircut, but also like I've met people who had hair like this that it was so straight it would just stick out all over the place, you know?
Oh, like what we're talking about. Oh, like David Duchovny's like dry spikes.
Yeah.
In Pet Sematary. It is like the same idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ, like, do you have memories of Tremors? I mean, I would love to cover this movie on the podcast at some point.
No,
but since we saw it recently, like, I feel like everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Especially, like, and even everybody in our group were just clapping and laughing the whole time.
Oh, my God. Oh, but all the kills and everything, yeah.
Victor Wong, also.
Oh, he's great. Everyone's so great. And, like, I know I saw this as a kid. I don't have, like, a specific memory. Probably my parents rented it on, like, a Friday night. And I've always loved this movie. I just think it's just a lot of fun.
The guy who plays, is it Ed? The gun guy, the guy that's obsessed with the guns? Because Walter is Victor Wong.
Bert.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, who's Ed? Ed? There's an Ed in the movie, isn't there?
Earl and Val.
Earl and Val. I'm just butchering it. Yeah. Bert, dude. Bert.
There's an Edgar.
Bert and Reba McEntire. She's looking like a 10 in this.
Yeah. Right?
Fire crotch. Fucking luscious. Luscious boobies. Bert in it. Fucking. He sells it, man. And she is such a perfect pair with Reba is such a perfect pair for fucking Bert. Like, they play off each other so well. What's his name? Kevin Bacon and
Fred Ward?
Fred Ward. I always forget his fucking name. He's always a tour de force too, but their chemistry is awesome. There's so many pairs of people in this movie. Their chemistry is amazing.
Yeah.
Their chemistry with the female like love interest for Kevin Bacon is very the
college student,
is super strong. Yeah. You know, Victor Wong is great in there. And then I like how they just like pepper in like the residents of like this really small town.
And everyone's super quirky.
Chick from Jurassic, little girl from Jurassic Park on the pogo stick.
Yeah.
It's just And I can think like what makes it so good is like they knew the limitations of the creature. So they're like, we'll show it when we need to, when it comes out of the ground. But they did like really cool stuff to like imply that it's around, like when it's chasing people, like the one point when the fucking the boards of the of the front of the building go up and the smoke. And it's just it's also like very it's a creature feature, but it's smart.
Yeah.
Like, can you fly, motherfucker? Can you fly? It just explodes. There's all the blood everywhere. But then, as we all know, they just made like fucking 6 or 7 Tremors. And after a while, it was like, first it was the Tremors. Then the Tremors had these little, like, other little Tremors that come out of them, but they can run around. And then those ones evolve and they can fly and they have wings. And then they like breathe fire out of their butts and all kinds of stupid shit. It just gets crazier and stupider and stupider, but kind of like how we discussed on the last episode about Saw.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're just like, we just need to keep making this really stupid. And so that's what Tremors did. But they're entertaining and they're fucking dog shit. So bad. Even like as quick as like the second movie, they're like, it's dumb now.
Is Kevin Bacon in the second one?
I think no. Fred Ward's in the second one. Yeah. And I think like the most reoccurring character that kept coming back after a while was just Bert. It was him. And that actor's so good.
He's from Family Ties.
Yeah, he's from Family Ties. And I always fucking forget that because it's like such a dichotomy.
Yeah.
Like it's like he's doing a totally different wholesome character. Yeah. But he reminds me of I always thought of his character in this like Bruce Dern's character in The Burbs.
Yeah.
Like it's like the same guy. And he's just like, after that, he moved into like the fucking suburbs and he encountered like the Klopax and shit. But yeah, I mean, like, it's a classic.
Yeah.
The fucking Tremors is such a classic.
I'm so glad they played it.
It's just a stacked ass cast, man.
Yeah. I love, it's just, like you said, it's just one of those movies that it's just amazing to watch it in a theater full of people who are thoroughly enjoying it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, next movie. Well, we took a break now. We left.
Yeah, this is actually a good break.
By break, I mean we went home and took care of Andy and then got food.
Yeah, we went home, walked our son, played with him for a little bit, and then we got Smash Burgers, fucking from Lucky's, a roadside stand in our neighborhood. So fucking good. Check out Lucky's if you're ever in Philadelphia. You will not be disappointed. But, Nosferatu, we missed Nosferatu. It's the remake with Klaus Kinski. And I've seen this a million times, and I'm sad you didn't get to see it because I think you would have really liked it.
I think I've watched it before.
Especially since you're like hardcore vampire fan. Yeah. I think you would love it. Klaus Kinski is a piece of shit. Say what you want about Klaus Kinski, but man, dude, he's fucking, that movie is so well filmed. It's just, man, he made Werner, I believe that's a Werner Herzog movie, correct?
Is it?
Remake, yeah. Can you just look it up?
Oh, it is. You're right.
He made some great ass horror movies, man, and he made a lot of them with Klaus Kinski. So, because they were like roommates and stuff. So you could go. I talked about this on a previous episode because I talked about a movie that Klaus Kinski was in where he plays like a Spanish conqueror.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And so go back and you should definitely watch this. You should definitely watch it as well, Steph. I've seen parts of it.
I've never seen the whole thing.
It's got a look. It's like all his movies have like a look, have like a feel, and man. He could just sell anything, Klaus Kinski, man. He was like if like Willem Dafoe decide to like finger little kids.
Ew.
Like that would be, yeah.
You know? Oh my God.
So Klaus Kinski is like the same kind of look, you know, yeah. Like I'm blasting kids now.
Right.
So now I'm, you know, it's like Green Goblin.
Jesus Christ.
But it's Klaus Kinski.
Klaus Kinski is like, yeah, he looks like a weirdo.
He looks like a guy that like, he's always like itching his butthole with his bare finger and smelling it throughout the day and like doing like a stinky cat face,
yeah.
Or like his mouth's open a little bit. And he's definitely like never washing his hands. Never.
Oh,
like he's doing sexual stuff, eating chips, like digging in the dirt. It's like,
it's disgusting.
It doesn't ever wash those boys.
Oh my God.
They're covered in soot. He looks like a chimney sweep. Oh, he looks like an old fashioned chimney sweep at all times. When you just like, shut down.
Like from like Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Man, remember when people used to get paid to clean, just go up on your roof, just clean out the chimney.
Somebody had to do it.
You get to like a shilling or two. And they used to send fucking kids down there.
Of course they did. Kids were doing terrible
things.
So
like
back
if you
then.
Look up like kid chimney sweeps, like there was like it would be like this old guy with like a handlebar mustache, like a hipster, like he would look like Ben,
right.
And it would be like Ben going on top of a roof, but he looks like Super Mario, right?
Uh-huh.
But he's real dusty. And then he has his son, but his son is just like a baby version of John Ashmore. And he's like, he has like this really rickety rope, like not even like nylon, because that wasn't invented yet.
Right,
it's like the straw rope.
Like, it's like frayed and like,
yeah, it's like
break.
Rope that's made from like old hay.
Okay.
And then he's just wrapping his son in one knot. You're just doing one knot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have the fucking...
And is it like under the armpits, like knot?
Yeah, it's not good. It's basically like, it's not even around the armpits. It's like around the kid's neck.
Okay, yeah.
Like a noose. Yeah. And then he's lowering him down there with the straw noose. And he's like praying it doesn't break. And he doesn't even tell the people downstairs to turn the fire off. They're just still cooking their meals because it's in the wintertime. So that kid's got like 5 minutes to clean that chimney out before he becomes a fucking like a roasted duck.
Yeah.
You know, like a Peking duck. Uh-huh. His daddy's going to pull him out. He's going to be crispy skin and all this. And also no N95s back then either.
No. Nope.
So these kids.
They have black lung.
There is just a grave somewhere where they took the chimney babies.
These are the chimney kids. The grave of the chimney kids. Because
everybody always talks about like the newsboys, you know,
newsies.
Like newsies.
Yeah.
But what about the chimney kids? You know, I want a movie about the chimney kids, but I want it to be like a Disney like comedy slash like coming
like
of age.
Like a buddy comedy.
Like it's like a coming of age buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like they used to make kids do terrible things, which like jobs, which kids should not be doing.
They still do.
They still do.
Yeah.
They do apparently.
That's how we get all of our merchandise on Amazon.
Yeah. But that's why I think that's part of the reason that people had so many children, because they figured like
expendable.
They're gonna lose a few to disease, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's gonna get you know, some yellow fever, typhus.
My son's gonna get syphilis.
They figure that like
from me.
A few of them have to do some terrible jobs and they're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like chimney sweeps.
Because like, yeah, when you're having like when you have like your kid, like when you're planning, like you're okay, we're gonna have kids. But we didn't like do any of the sexy yet, but we're like, we're figuring like how many we'll need for like our structure.
Well, I think also you have to consider whether or not you believe in Jesus, because if you believe in Jesus, you're having even more.
So you're
kids.
Doing like, you're almost doing like, it's like you're doing like a fantasy football chart,
right.
like of your potential kids.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, this one's going to die from the Black Plague. This one's going to be, we need this one because he's going to be the chimney sweep boy.
Yeah.
But he will only live for like 5 years because of all the carbon.
And black lung.
Black lung.
Yeah.
So we need another one to take his place. At the ready.
Right.
So we'll have another one. So we need two dedicated, and their job is just chimneys. Right? It's such a waste of like just living.
Oh my God.
I know. And then we complain about stuff today. It's like, man, I don't want to do that job. Meanwhile, this kid's like, I got to get down there and clean the chimney. Dad, give me a Pall Mall first.
Oh my God. Speaking of syphilis, can I just sidetrack for a second?
Yeah.
I watched a series called The English on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really good. It's like I don't know how many episodes are, maybe six.
English.
Emily Blunt
Blue.
Is the main actress in it. And there are other people who you would recognize. And the story, I didn't know it had anything to do with syphilis, but boy, does it take a turn.
Boy, howdy.
She is like, she comes to the U.S. from England, and it's like the 1800s or something. And she wants to avenge her child's death and kill the man who killed her child.
Yeah.
That's all you know.
That's all we know.
And things go badly right away, but she teams up with a Native American man. I think he's Pawnee. Anyway,
Shawnee.
You find out later, you get like bits and pieces of her story and bits and pieces of his story. And reluctantly at first, they team up, but then they kind of like figure out that they're like kind of destined to be together.
Where the fuck is this reason. Going?
Anyway, you find out that her kid that died.
Give me the rough and ready,
it's
bro.
It's kind of a lovely love story. Okay. That isn't really a love story. They don't ever kiss. Because they can't.
They just finger.
They don't even do that. So
they blast. They're blasting.
Okay, you find out that
just
she...
Just give me a blast, right?
She gets raped by this man.
Oh, never mind.
Who fucking gives her syphilis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right? And she's unmarried and she gets pregnant. So then she's like... everyone's ashamed of her, right? So it's like she's like this terrible
that
like,
happens in the that happens in the Nick.
Okay,
I remember.
So anyway, she has the baby and the baby has syphilis.
Yeah.
The kid lives for 14 years and then the kid dies of syphilis.
But if you go to the Modern Museum, there's all syphilis babies.
Well, in one part she shows a locket like a painted portrait of her kid, and it's a fucking syphilis face. Right? And it's shocking because you don't expect that and you're like, that kid has no nose.
Right.
Then you find out that she has like she has end stage syphilis. She's going to fucking die.
Yeah.
So that's why they can't really be in love because they can't be together because she has fucking syphilis. And then in the end, she gets her revenge and then they part ways.
Yeah.
And then she has no nose.
I would have been like, you ain't going to stay with someone. You're just going to part ways immediately when someone tells you that syphilis. It ain't staying.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
There was no cure for it back then.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm still just saying that's why it's even more terrifying,
anyway,
right?
I highly recommend the series. It just, the twist, I was like, what the fuck? This is not what I thought.
No one's watching it because you just ruined it.
I mean, watch it anyway.
You just like, you just gave away the whole thing. They're not going to suffer through like fucking 10 hours of TV.
It's so good. It doesn't matter.
For the twist that you
I
already.
I love Emily Blunt. She's amazing.
I love her too.
Yeah, she's great.
Kravinsky, man.
I know. He's fucking lucky.
Just kissing her. I mean, she's lucky.
I mean, both of them. I love him.
I mean, he's a good dude.
He is.
I will say. I don't got no beef with the Kravinsky. But Emily Blunt, man, that bitch is delicious.
And you know who her brother-in-law is? Fucking Tooch.
Right. I think you told me that before.
He married her sister.
Yeah.
The Tooch. Much younger than him.
And people love the Tooch too, man. We got one here that loves him.
We love the Tooch.
Monkey Shines.
We do our Tooch Thanksgiving.
Monkey Shines and Tooch Giving.
Yeah,
I love Tooch Giving. what's the next one?
So we came back, and this movie had already started a little bit, so we missed the very beginning of
it. And immediately we walked in, I saw that fucking...
I saw his face.
I saw a fucking Dream Warriors bro, and I was like, oh, this ghost story.
I recognized him, and I was like, what movie is this? I know he's from Dream Warriors, but I totally forgot about Ghost Story. So anyway, Ghost Story from 1981. Based on a novel by
Podcast favorite. Me and Melissa have talked about this movie for years on the podcast so many times, shared our love for it. And then John watched it, I guess, within the last couple of years. He loved it. And then I guess Ben has also watched it, and he said how much he loved it at
it's really good. Synopsis.
Theater.
Two generations of men find themselves haunted by the presence of a spectral woman. When the son of one of the elderly men returns to his hometown after his brother's mysterious death, they attempt to unravel her story.
So
Greg Wasson, that's the guy, right? And fucking Fred Astaire as like, I mean, he's ancient, but he's like, he's what you picture Fred Astaire look like.
It's like the perfect movie because it's got a lot of like classic old heads in it.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of like Cocoon, where Cocoon had like the great old head lineup.
Like Diabetes.
Yeah. And you were just like, hold up, I need to see more great old head lineups. And then Cocoon was after a Ghost Story. But anyway, you get my point. Yeah. Like Cocoon's like, hold my beer.
Right.
Ghost Story.
Yeah,
you know, and then they came out with the diabetes.
then they came out with the diabetes.
But like, this movie's great. I mean, you could do a whole, I want to cover, but this is another movie I want to cover on the podcast. It's fucking amazing. But when I was watching it this time, I was thinking, and I said to Steph, I was like, this fucking movie is the perfect movie for the dude who did Midnight Mass and The Fall of the House of Usher.
Mike Flanagan.
It's a perfect vehicle for him to remake. Because it feels like he had to be inspired by this movie.
Because so much talking?
No, because he like treads the line between like I think like it's modern gothic that he does like really well. And like that movie is like old school gothic, and I can, and it's not only that, but it's like the way that that story is told. I think Ghost Story is so ahead of its time because the way it's told through like, not like it's flashbacks, but it's also like broken down with like what's going on in the present. Right. And I think Mike Flanagan has done that super well with his shows that he's done, where he's like, this guy's going to tell you the story that happened, like even in the Fall of House Usher, off the same way. It's like, I'm going to tell you this story with about all these characters, and there's going to be flashbacks, and it's going to tie to like other characters that aren't. It's just, it's masterful.
It is.
And the fucking practical effects that they do of the corpses and stuff. And it's just, and I don't like ghost stories. So like,
I know you hate two things you hate. Ghost stories, possession.
I went to like, I remember when I was a kid and my parents took me to Disney, we went in the Disney Haunted Mansion, I was like pissing off of the ride, like in all the ghosts' faces, those blue hitchhiker ghosts, I was pissing on them. My mom's like, pull your pants, but I was full pissed. I just kept pissing and pissing the whole, it was like a 45 minute ride, I was pissing the whole time. Oh, I was dehydrated. I looked like a California raisin at the end of the ride. Yeah. I had not a drop of moisture in my body.
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, my mom was like, my mom had to get like a sponge and be like, what did you do to my boy? And she was like trying to put moisture back in my skin.
Oh my God.
But no, I don't like ghost stories, and I don't. And ghost stories and exorcism.
Yeah. That's why I said possession.
Possession,
I
mean, it's stuff. Like you don't like. The only movie I like is Possession. But that's because it's so fucking weird.
It's not a traditional.
Because it's a tentacle guy fucking.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't care about anything else.
Daddy of Deviants. I said it.
Like The Changeling? That movie's bullshit.
I like The Changeling.
You got fucking fat ass
George C. Scott.
C. Scott just yelling. Like farting beans all over the place.
He yells all the time.
He is. He's just like, farting beans.
Yeah.
Like that's what he looks like. He looks like he smells like old like pipe tobacco and like a fart.
He does.
My dad would always smoke in the bathroom while he was pooping. And like I would go to see if he was in there, and I would peek under the crack and I would see his feet in there, because my dad would always eat dinner while he was pooping.
Ooh.
And read like not dinner, breakfast. Oh. He would have like his coffee on the between his feet.
And breakfast food?
And breakfast food, like a plate, like a, like, and he would be pooping in there with the newspaper.
And a cigarette.
I would always peek under there and I would smell the coffee, poop and cigarette. And that's what I imagine George C. Scott smells like.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
That's where I get all my weird shit from. My dad. My dad wasn't eating newspaper, but like that's what I did.
But your dad just pooped and ate breakfast. Yeah.
My dad was just like
simultaneously.
He was pooping and eating sunny side ups.
Oh,
dipping his fucking bread in there. He probably had like his shit probably dried on his butt, and it was probably like old like clay mud, and he would just have to re-moisturize the poop to get off his chimps.
That's the thing I never could understand about like sitting like reading the newspaper.
Sometimes,
The shit. Okay, you have already shit.
Yeah,
it is in the toilet bowl.
Right.
You don't flush and you don't wipe,
right,
and you sit there. Why?
I sometimes shit until my legs go numb.
And then, but you're not shitting the whole time,
right? But then when I wipe, it is like a cold clay that I have to like wipe off. It really is.
Oh my
God. Like I got Sculpey on my ass cheeks, you know.
Holy crap!
And then I'll try to stand up, and my legs are numb, and I'll just fall face first down with like just clay ass.
Oh my God! I never walk in to see that.
I'm just like, and I'm like flailing around and shit
ass.
Yeah, clay ass.
Oh my God! Well, speaking of, we never even announced what we were drinking.
Yeah, I was going to do it at the midway point,
but
just do it right now. No, because I knew we forgot, so I was like, we'll wait till halfway, but no, go ahead. What are you drinking?
I am in the Halloween spirit, so I'm drinking a Pumpkin Imperial Pumpkin Ale, 8.6% alcohol by volume, Southern Tier Brewing Company, and this is this year's release. I was trying hard to get the newest batch.
That artwork is beat, bro.
Oh, it's so corny.
Corny as hell.
What is he supposed to be, like a wrestler? What is he supposed to be?
Yeah, I guess he's supposed to be a wrestler.
I don't know.
I'm drinking Three Floyds Zombie Ice.
Zombie Dust?
Yeah, I talked about Zombie Dust a lot on the podcast, and I used to love it. And it's still a good beer, but like, you know, everybody's tastes evolve and grow and such and such. But this is a new one that I saw at our local establishment. So I picked it up. Undead Double Pale Ale, and it is like just about 9% crafted with an unholy amount of citra. This double undead pale ale heralds the zombie evolution after the dust has settled from the apocalypse. It's decent. Here, want to try a sip?
Yeah.
I tried the pumpkin. Yeah, it does taste. I actually prefer this pumpkin to the previous ones because I feel like a lot of the times with Southern Tiers beers, what they do is they're a lot of like what do I want to say? Themed like what is it? What am I looking for here? It just like seems like it's like a
style over substance.
Yeah, because something like that. That's not the word I'm looking for, but that'll do, pig. But no, like they're too sweet,
right?
Like no, a lot of times because it's always
pumpkin
like
pumpkin used to be very sweet.
Yeah, it's always like desserty stuff.
Yeah,
and that's why I did like I used to like pumpkin because it was like that.
Yeah.
But then as I got older, I don't like stuff that's like super super sweet.
You like shit ass coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah. But that I like that one better. But again, it's not blowing me away, but yeah. I think it is the best pumpkin beer we've had so far this year. Yep. We've had quite
a
few.
I'm holding out for Weyerbacher.
I feel like across the board we're pretty disappointed with Elysian.
Yeah.
What was the other one we tried? Schmutty.
Oh, Schmitz? The Schlafly.
Schlafly.
I don't know how to say it.
It has like bare bones artwork. It looks like it'll be total trash beer, but it's decent.
It's decent.
But I think previous years it was better because this year me and Steph both got like a predominantly like blood aftertaste, uh-huh. Like very like metallic-y copper aftertaste that wasn't that good.
No.
But it's still drinkable.
Yeah. I think that actually enjoyed that better than any of the Elysian.
All right, let's talk about this next fucking clusterfuck of a movie that I loved.
You did love it.
Fucking,
I don't know why.
Because it is so weird and I never heard of it.
Because you have to be a contrarian.
But here's
that's why.
No, it's not. It's not. Because I hate people that are like that. But no, but nobody, I like this movie so much because it's the reason I go to Hearthon for these gems that I never heard of. No one ever came up to me and they're like, there's this movie with David Carradine playing a woman and he's not like just in drag. He's supposed to be a woman. Like he's a woman in it. For all counts and purposes, he's a woman.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me that, I would have sought this movie out so long ago and watched it and I never even fucking heard of it. And it's got the weird looking dude that I think he swear to God, he's from Pieces. Like he plays like the weird looking freak guy from Pieces, but I don't know him from anything else. He plays like the lead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the movie is Sunny Boy from 1989. Like you said, David Carradine, Brad Dourif.
Oh my God. Brad Dourif again. I could fucking watch any movie that man's in.
I know.
And that's again why I like the movie because he's in it and fucking David Carradine's in it.
Yeah.
Another movie I just watched that David Carradine's in, Evil Tunes. Watch that fucking movie. It is the best goddamn movie ever. Possibly the hottest 80s bitches you've ever seen in your life, wearing the hottest clothing you've ever seen in your life, the hottest titties you've ever seen in your life. And it's about this book that David Carradine delivers to this house that these hot bitches are cleaning because it's Dick Miller, right? From Gremlins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's in charge of them. He like runs a cleaning business. So he basically lets them clean the house, whatever, and they get paid whatever, and they have a whole weekend to clean it. Makes no sense. Right. But anyway, David Carradine comes, delivers his book, and when they look at the book, it's basically like the Necronomicon,
uh-huh.
But these like cartoon characters come out, and when the cartoon characters have sex with the girls, they possess them, and they enter their bodies, and then they start killing people.
Oh my God.
one of the cartoon characters fucks this girl, goes into her body, then that creature, woman, sexy hot bitch, gives head to Dick Miller and bites his penis off.
Oh my God.
It's fucking amazing. It's free on Freevee as well.
Jesus Christ.
I've always heard about it, but I never watched it because it just looked like a shitty, I think it's like borderline 80s, 90s movie.
Yeah.
I never watched it, but it's great. But also, at the end, David Carradine, he hangs himself.
Oh, yikes.
And I was like, oh, shit, progenitor.
Foreshadow.
Progenitor to cummies.
Also in this movie, Sidney Lassick. I fucking love him. That's the, like, the guy with the, like, little lisp.
The little fat, like, gay guy.
Yes, I love him so much.
He is amazing.
He's in so much goddamn shit.
He really is.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Carrie. Freeway.
Keep going.
X-Files. Tom and Jerry the movie.
Yeah, you'll know him if you see him. He's got a very iconic voice.
Cool as Ice. He was in Cool as Ice.
Oh man,
Cool Don't as Tell Ice. Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Dez.
Let's see. I don't know.
That's fine. And he's dead now.
A lot
so.
Of things.
Yeah, he's dead.
Lady in White.
Lady in White.
You still need to watch that movie.
We tried to watch it and you said this movie's shit. I don't know why I liked it.
No, you were just like, so it seemed like you were so bored.
I was. I'll give it another shot. Listen, I will. You've sat through, been through
I mean,
many
been,
a movie from me. So, you know.
That's true.
Lady in White. But what did you, but so you did not like Sonny Boy.
I did not like, okay, I didn't, I, it was so fucking
try to give me
absurd.
This is what I want. For the, just for this movie, because people have know the other movies for the most part. Give me a synopsis for this movie. What happens?
Okay, what happens? So Brad Dourif is supposed to rip off somebody and steal a car and some things.
Yeah.
And he does that, but when he gets the car back for it to be scrapped or whatever, there's a baby in it.
Baby.
And then the baby is Pearl's, like, Pearl is David Carradine.
Not the new Pearl.
No.
Movie.
She's like,
this movie's better.
She's like, this is my baby. And then her man is Slew, who is a disgusting human being.
And he's got a cannon.
He's a cannon. And he's like and the crime lord of this desert town.
Desert town. And he's got like a pyramid that's made of like newspaper.
It's like the Louvre, but it's made of paper. Mm. And yeah, they just, you go out to his house in the desert and there's like an endless sea of appliances.
And people just respect them when they come out. They're like, hey, I love your garbage land. You're the boss.
Yeah.
Why is the boss living there?
He just like, well, he kills a cop. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, right? He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. So anyway, so Pearl keeps this kid and she's like, I love you. You're my son. And then and Slew's like, I'm going to kill this kid. I don't want your kid. But then Pearl keeps the kid. But you know what they do with the kid? They make him live in a silo.
And they give him chickens.
They cut his tongue out. They feed him live chickens. And they beat him and set him on fire.
Yeah. They basically say like, oh yeah, he burns me so my skin gets thick so I can't be burned.
Right, and but that then comes back later.
But then they use him. They set him forth like a wild dog to like kill people.
Yeah.
But he's always just, he doesn't want to kill people. He just wants to see what's in their fridge because he's so hungry.
Right.
So
because he's just eating live chickens.
But then what happens is he falls in love with this girl and then
who's like a hot punk rock girl from the '80s. I don't know
what he starts talking like as best he can. And then at the end he escapes because there's this big showdown. Everybody kills Slew. It's like, California love. It's like fucking Road Warrior shit.
Squad Deep. They roll
Squad
up.
Deep. They kill him.
You forgot the weird doctor who lost his license because he did surgery with monkey parts. Because that comes back later. Because at the end of the movie, everyone dies. Pearl gets shot. Best death scene.
Something with the monkey penis he did.
Best death scene because it is so dramatic.
Oh, yeah. He gets fucking shot down in slow-mo like for 15 minutes.
It's amazing. So everyone gets killed.
See, and then you love this movie.
Sonny Boy is left on his own and the doctor's like, I can fix you. I can give you a monkey tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has surgery to have a new tongue. And then the next day he's talking.
He's talking fine. And he's like, I love you. And the movie makes no sense. It looks like it was all ad-libbed. It looked like it was all just, there was no dialogue. But I will tell you, I fucking love Brad Dourif's style in this movie. Oh my God,
well, because it changes.
he's got his hair's always changing, but he does the Chucky laugh like a million times and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
God
he's,
damn.
No, he's great. I didn't dislike this movie. It was just, it's fucking so weird.
All right, let's talk about this next movie. It's a Hot Topic movie.
What was the next one?
The Omen.
Oh.
Hot Topic.
Hot Topic. I forgot you kept saying that.
Hot Topic.
I like The Omen.
This is like basically like if you like Nightmare Before Christmas, then you like also like you want to buy a t-shirt to The Omen and Hot Topic too.
I like The Omen though.
It's the best.
It's all for you, Damien.
And she jumps out the window with like her Avenged Sevenfold.
No, but that scene's great.
T-shirt on.
When she jumps off the roof and she swings through the glass at the
There's portrait. A lot of good scenes in the movie. The problem is like I don't want to see, I'm not scared of kids and I don't want to see some AC/DC looking little kid walking around just smirking for like an hour and a half. I don't give a shit.
No, I think the problem is why is Gregory Peck 75 years old and his wife is having a baby?
But that's because the patriarchy.
It is. You know who directed this? Richard Donner directed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic. It's a Stone Cold classic. That's why you always just see all the print-ups and Hot Topic of all the shirts because people need it, you know. It's like between I understand like they're basically trying to make this like they want this to be The Exorcist, you know. They're trying to do something different. There's some like what did you say the guy's name was?
Gregory Peck.
Not Gregory Peck, the other guy that's in it from Teenage Ninja Turtles The Secret of the Ooze.
What?
He's in Teenage Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. What the fuck is his name? I can't think of
his name.
He's in Freak Maker.
David Warner.
David Warner. Yeah. He's from, he, he's, he's from fucking Teenage Turtles. Toka. He's like, I made the ooze for Toka and Reza. But he has like a weird, like, he looks the same.
He does.
But he looks like he filmed Secret of the Ooze and then filmed this movie after it. But like, they just gave him a weird like wig to look younger. But his death is his death is fucking great.
Yeah.
His death is awesome. Is his head squished?
Yes.
Yeah. His head goes for booking off. He doesn't get squished. He gets like decapitated.
I like this movie.
Everybody does. And I don't understand it because it's like Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap Kid. Just Turbo McLurbelin. And at the end, he's alive. And then they made one of the sequels with Sam Neill. What is it? The third one where he's the kid? Sam Neill's like Damien.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's like, I control the stock market because I'm evil as shit.
I forgot about that.
And I run Facebook.
Sam Neill.
And SpaceX.
God, Sam Neill. He was a hottie when he was young.
He had some growths going on his face that looked like he got dealt with like surgically.
Like moles?
Yeah, like out of control moles.
No.
Like second head mole boys, like on his
Sometimes
face.
A mole is sexy.
It's not.
He was sexy.
It's
in
a
possession.
Pustule. It's
in
not possession. A mole. Yeah, he was. He wasn't that.
He was sexy.
Yeah.
And Isabella Johnny.
It wasn't enough. He wasn't enough for Isabella Johnny. She
needed tentacles.
Fucking hungry, bro. And like, listen, you can be like super attractive and you can just be like too vanilla for a woman, you know?
That's true.
Some women need to be treated in such a way
that
you need to make sure you, especially with a woman like Elizabeth Johnny, whatever she Johnny. Needs you to do, whatever she needs
Elizabeth,
you to do,
Elizabeth, you're just making
whatever a Johnny needs, okay? Fucking do it. All right. If she wants you to shove like Stouffer's mac and cheese in her cooch, you're going to do it. Okay, because that's
hopefully not while it's too hot.
That's
though,
a Johnny.
So
frozen. She wants it only frozen.
Okay.
And then she cooks it in there.
That's terrible.
And
too.
Then she pushes it out when it's all cooked. She pushes it out for you, and you eat it up.
Yeah.
Tell me the next one. That's all you got to say about The Omen.
I don't know what else to say about it. Like, I've seen it a bunch of times. I actually left during
it. Out.
I didn't even watch the whole
thing. I agree with you. It is played out.
Listen, it's not my favorite. Like, if I had to choose that or The Exorcist, I would go with The Exorcist. I think The Exorcist is a better movie.
There's some movies that go around, and I will understand why people like The Omen. It's just not for me.
Right. That's fine.
It's fucking horrible. You know, it's like Village of the Damned.
Yeah.
Like, that movie's dumb as shit because it's just kids with white hair looking at you.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Little Aryan kids.
Yeah. And Damien doesn't even do anything in the whole movie.
He's just like a little cute
he just
kid.
Fucking like he just goes around on his bike. And one time, OK, he may have like hit his mom when she was, but she was stupid as shit because she was on like a fucking step stool.
She was like over, on a piano stool.
Over a fucking balcony.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Asking for it.
You stupid idiot.
Asking for
no
it.
Harness to be seen. He was just.
And she was pregnant.
Yeah. It could have happened to any kid.
Don't do that.
So I'm just saying, it's not. He's not special. Basically, the reason I don't like The Omen is because it's like, I took a picture and look at the picture. What you see in all these pictures, you see a shadow. He's like trying to show me like an orb in a picture, but then he's saying like it's a ghost, and you're just like, no, it's not a ghost, bro.
I think what I like about this is that the kid, like you said, the kid, he just seems like a normal, like cute little kid. He's not really doing anything like now.
Except you try to take him to church.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And then he freaks out. But like modern movies are like the kid has to look evil and the kid has to have a smile and it's so evil and he's so malicious.
You're so right about that though. Okay. It's great. The movie's awesome. What's the next movie?
Okay, so I left at this point because it was like midnight and I was like, fuck this, I'm going to go home and go to bed.
This is where it started to get fun.
Yeah.
And we'll go through these quick since Steph wasn't really able to partake in them. But Zombie 3.
Zombie 3. Lucio Fulci.
What a fucking... What a turn of events. Because, you know, you watch Zombie, you love it. Then you watch Zombie 3. Zombie was known as Zombie 2 and then Zombie 3. And Zombie 3 is like supposed to be like the virus, but then it also affects like birds and animals and stuff like that. And it's fucking so stupid. The special effects, not that like, you know, you don't have like the thing this movie's missing is like the classic Lucio Fulci gore.
Right.
It looks like they're trying to do that, but like... with like 5% of the budget where they only had watercolors and like dried up poop clay.
Okay.
Like to do it. The zombies look horrible. The birds look like there's the birds when they're attacking look terrible. Like you could tell it's like a little puppet.
Yeah.
But for all that, it's super enjoyable. The soundtrack is amazing. It's one of my fucking, I have it on vinyl. It's like one of my fucking favorites. The artwork is so fucking sick for fucking Zombie 3. So sick.
I mean, I'm looking at it. It's amazing.
It's really enjoyable. It's not a good movie by any stretch of imagination. It's by all accounts an embarrassment, and expunge it from the record, but also just watch it and just have fun and you will. And I feel like it was, that movie was perfect for when they played it. I was like, finally agreed with the lineup. I was like, okay, cool. Get a little weird with it. That's this is when I need you to get a little weird with it. And then after that, they played The Craving, aka Night of the Werewolf.
All right, so 1981 is the year. And synopsis: an evil witch brings back to life the infamous Elizabeth Bathory, who was executed several hundred years previously for murdering young women and bathing in their blood.
Paul Naschy. Yeah, we talked about Panic Beats. Remember we watched that Panic Beats one? Do you remember that one?
It's
with the... You're like, tell me what it is and I'll tell you if I remember it. It's the one where like the guy is like in the house with like the cemetery and he gets revenge. Remember like his wife tries to leave and she gets like carjacked and stuff like that.
Oh man, it sounds familiar.
That's what I'm telling you. Steph needs to watch things like 8 times before they solidify. But anyway, Paul Naschy, like this movie's great. I wish you would have watched it. This is arguably like one of his like best movies. Like it's one of my favorites at least. But yeah, if you've never watched any of Paul Naschy stuff, it's definitely a different flavor. It's like Spanish horror, which I fucking love Spanish horror. It's like so hand in hand with like old Italian horror, like Tombs of the Blind Dead stuff. All this goes together perfectly. So if you never saw this, watch Panic Beats, watch The Beast and the Magic Sword, and you could see like all the movies he's made. It's crazy, like The Beast Carnival and stuff like that. His IMDb is enormous, but it was cool, and I'm super glad they started doing some Spanish horror in there. It was a nice little tie-in, especially considering the next couple movies that they played, which was followed by Murders in the Rue Morgue, which surprisingly, I never saw this movie. Obviously, I heard about it.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi. I don't know why I never watched it. I just never did. It's fucking beautiful. It's great. Yeah. It's a really, really great movie. Bela Lugosi's awesome in it. Cinematography is amazing. It's just like such a cool... Again, I was watching this and I was thinking about Mike Flanagan, and I was also thinking about how ahead of its time it was. Yeah. And I like this. I like these movies that they played overnight. Like you had Night of the Werewolf, then you had Murders in the Rue Morgue. Then they were like, let's take a break and let's do... The Killing of Satan. The Killing of Satan is fucking super weird. Again, this was probably like one of my favorite movies of the night next to Sunny Boy, because it was just so weird. It's like Power Rangers, but what? Power Rangers, like Jesus versus like Satan, and they shoot laser beams out of their arms, like Inframan kind of feel.
Yeah.
Apparently it was like a religious propaganda, like Christian propaganda movie that they made. So it's fucking out there, man, but super worth the watch. Ben got a bootleg apparently, because he left for this one, so he didn't get to watch it, but he got a bootleg of it a while ago and he never watched it, so he watched it. I don't know what his thoughts were on it. He never said anything. But it's definitely one of those movies, like if you're like a hardcore quote-unquote film buff, it's a fun one to seek out, man. It kind of reminded me of that movie we watched. God, and I can't think of it off the top of my head what the name was. The Claw and the Fist. Or remember that movie of the, it was like a Turkish movie with like the guy who was like raised by lions. And then we were watching it on the screen stream. And he I remember he was doing trampolines the whole time and killing people.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird like that. Yeah. It reminded me of that. I'm farting on the name of that movie. But The Killing of Satan, watch it. It's fucking great. What did you pull that up? What was the year was that from?
I couldn't find it on IMDb. Maybe it has another title.
It's probably got an alternative title. Yeah. And then classic, The House That Dripped Blood.
Yep, from 1971.
It's like a anthology movie. Fucking awesome. I love when they play anthology movies at the Horrorthon, because it feels like...
Who's in it? There's a lot of
everybody's
actors.
Fucking in it, dude. Christopher Lee's in it.
Peter
Cushing's in it. Who else is in it? You got it up? What year is it from? I'm going to say it's like 68 or something.
71.
71, okay.
71. I'm trying to see other names that I recognize.
It's basically like all these events that have occurred inside this one house, like through the different through the different owners.
Yeah.
Again, Mike Flanagan. I'm gonna keep saying it. That's why all these overnight movies like remind me, like had the same feel and shit. I will say, I think a lot of people, especially like 80s horror fans, 90s horror fans, and you know, 2000s or whatever. Why would you like 2000s horror? I don't know. Maybe you just do. But like I feel like what happens inevitably, what always happened to me was like, I was like, oh, I like the 80s. And then like I watched the majority of the 80s and I was like, I grew up in the 90s, so I had already watched that stuff. So then I went back and I started watching the 70s stuff. And then eventually, you know, you go back to like the 60s and a lot of people are like, I don't like the Hammer movies. But I feel like you will get to that point eventually in your life where you will find them to be, you'll get more from them.
Right.
You have an appreciation for them. And it might not be the first time you've watched it. It took me a couple times and then I started really loving them all. But The House That Dripped Blood, The Creeping Flesh, stuff like that, you should watch. It's great. It's just fucking cool. And I love those actors, man. Those fucking just British dirty teeth men.
Yeah.
With all like white slick back hair. It was like there was only one hairstyle. It was a slick back.
Uh-huh.
You had the slick back or you had nothing. But they always had like a presence. And I feel like the acting, you watch those movies and you believe, I don't know, you just believe it.
Right.
I don't know how else to say
it.
It's
just
very strange. Like you'll watch some acting, you'll be like, this acting's terrible. But whatever comes out of Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee's mouth, you're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm fucking in. And the short stories are really cool. They're really cool. And I wouldn't want to spoil it for you and go into it any more than that. And then
I returned after my...
And you came back at a great time.
I came at the most perfect time.
Leviathan.
Leviathan from 1989.
Which I was shocked they never played this movie. This movie's a fucking 10, bro.
It's so good.
And Jackson said it like best. He basically is like, these movies like are like the cheesy space movies. It's like, but instead of being in outer space, they're underwater.
I mean, this movie is... The Thing and Alien
combined
underwater.
But it's so
good.
It's so much better than it has any right to be,
right?
Because they actually gave a fuck when they made it. They're like, we know this is a ripoff, but we're still going to make it a 10 with the special effects.
Well, it's the sets, the acting,
the miniatures.
It's so good.
Yeah, the acting. You got fucking Peter Weller. Peter Weller is weirdly cast in this, I will say. Like, he's strange.
I buy it, though.
No, I do buy it, but like,
he doesn't belong.
He doesn't belong.
That's the thing. He doesn't belong with these other people.
You're right.
And it's like, so maybe that's the point.
So it's a perfect casting. Yeah. I guess you're right. Ernie Hudson fucking is the man.
Ernie Hudson, Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern's just like, I want to get my dick sucked. I want to jerk off.
Daniel Stern's like, I will sexually harass every woman on this ship.
He's like, I'm a wet bandit. I'm going to have sex. With yeah. And he's at one point, he like gets his nudie magazine. He's basically like, I'm going to go jerk off. And he goes to jerk it. And there's like an octopus thing in like his... In his porn magazine.
Meg Foster, who is perfectly cast as evil corporate woman.
Her role is very small. Right. Like, I imagine she recorded that in like 5 minutes. Yeah.
And Hector Elizondo. Which, he is fucking great.
You see him and you know who he is.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I love the suits in this. I actually think when they're underwater, like, you buy it.
Yeah.
That they're underwater. It's like kind of like... Not as well done as The Abyss, obviously.
Right.
Like, when The Abyss was, they were underwater, you totally, like, believed it. But I still, like, they do this effect when they're supposed to be underwater walking around where you see kind of, like, the, it looks like, not plankton, but, like, you know, like, when you're in deep water, all, like, the remnants of, like, the things that have been digested. It looks like fish food almost, floating around in the water. They do that really well in this movie. You see that. So it gives the illusion. I don't know how they did that effect, but it's really fucking cool. The creature is awesome at the end when you get the reveal. It's like a duck, platypus, fish, fucking whatever thing.
It has like this body horror in it that is so much like The Thing.
The body horror, man.
It's
yeah.
so good.
And I love this, and me and Jackson were talking about it, but like this movie and Deep Star 6, huge fucking, I don't want to even call them guilty pleasures, but they are guilty pleasures. Yeah. I can watch these movies over and over and over again. They're always amazing. This was a great companion piece to play after, like, you know, give it some breathing air, but after Tremors.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're just they're great movies together, man.
I'm so happy. I watched
Creature Features.
I know I watched this movie at least one other time with you. So once it started, I was like, oh yeah, I remember watching this
movie. But like, really after good. A while, all of the underwater movies start to feel like you're like, hold on, is Michael Biehn in this one? No, Michael Biehn's in The Abyss.
The Abyss just because the
weird like alien like manta
water,
ray,
the water creature, that's The Abyss, right?
Where it comes like, out of the water, the face, Ed Harris's face,
Yeah,
it's cool. I love always like the shtick they do in these movies too, when they're trying to like, there's a flood and they're trying to close like the pressure chambers and stuff like that, and it is terrifying. And I think I always gravitate towards those movies because there's like the feeling of isolation as well,
right?
Which I really think like. underwater movies, man, you could keep making underwater horror movies and I would still keep watching them. I remember when Sphere came out, and I didn't like Sphere at the end of the day, but I was so hyped when that came out because it was like Sharon Stone, Dustin Hoffman. I don't remember who else was in that. A bunch of people were in it, and it was supposed to be like an underwater like horror movie. And it was basically like this, I don't remember what it ended up being, like an AI thing or something. It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But I was super upset when I watched that because I was like, oh no, it's not like Leviathan. Such a great movie on
yeah. And who directed it? George Cosmatos.
Oh yeah, the Cosmats.
Yeah.
Which fucking shows, mm-hmm. man, because in anybody else's hands, this movie would have been like any other shitty, I don't want to say underwater, but like alien knockoff you've ever seen.
Right.
But it's got chops, man.
Yeah.
And it fucking moves. And I mean, I want to cover this in the podcast.
My only complaint with this movie is the ending.
What?
The ending where they're like, we're going to throw in some sharks.
Oh, the shark thing. But that was studio involvement.
It was.
Were like, you're like, there's no sharks in this movie. Right. Cosmonauts was probably like, fine, fucking, I'll put some beef footage.
And then nothing happens with the sharks. No. But then Ernie Hudson, lamest fucking death. Why? Oh, why'd they kill him?
I agree, bro. When he dies,
he did not deserve it. He deserved to be a survivor.
Yeah. And I think, I feel like that studio involvement, like somebody else had to die.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the budget to like give him a gory, like if you were going to kill him off, that's fine. Give him a gory death. Right. Have him get ripped in half. Why didn't
the sharks eat him or something?
No, the sharks were just.
The sharks matter.
The sharks were just like, I'm here.
And I'm not.
And they're like, okay, I'm out. Yeah. They're like,
that's my big complaint.
Well, because the platypus creature eventually emerges right on the surface.
Gets him, yeah.
And it gets him, but I guess it scares away the sharks.
It just drowns them, though.
Yeah.
It only pulls
them down or whatever.
It's so corny.
It is corny.
Poor Ernie. He deserved better.
And then we left after that one. So we missed these last two. So really, we only missed, I saw 12 out of the 15. So we missed High Tension, which I just rewatched because I wanted to watch it for White Two Killers because Ben and Sarah talked about it. Still really like that movie. Don't understand the hate that people have that don't like it.
I haven't watched it in a while, but when the very first time I saw that movie, I was like, holy fuck, this movie's amazing.
Yeah, it holds up. I think it holds up, and I think it opened up the door for a lot of like French horror. At that point when that came out, I hadn't watched like any French horror, and then High Tension came out and I watched like Calvaire wasn't Martyrs French?
I think so.
Martyrs.
Well, Calvaire was Belgian, I believe, but I mean, close enough.
Was it really?
Yeah.
There was no French involvement with Calvaire?
They might speak French. I don't know.
There's this movie, they redid it, but the original French movie was called Inside. It was about like a pregnant girl.
You showed me that movie.
Ben and Sarah need to cover that on fucking Y2 Killers because I don't think they've never seen it, but it was like a great 2000s-ish movie. I think it was called Inside.
Inside, yeah.
French Inside, not Inside with Willem Dafoe.
No,
that I talked about.
Not that one. Yeah, they speak French in the movie in Calvaire, but it is it was filmed in Belgium.
Right.
So I don't know.
All right. French movie then.
Calvaire.
Calvaire is the best.
Oh, I love Calvaire.
But no, it holds up. High Tension does hold up. The gore's fucking insane. It's ripping. I think it's like taking a lot of influence from a lot of, it's wearing it all on its sleeve and then it's just making a movie. And apparently, I just stole all that from fucking Dean Koontz, and Dean Koontz is like, you know, I got fucking like, I'm wearing a wig, so I don't care if you're stealing stuff from me because I'm stealing the illusion that I have hair, and I fucking, there's no way in hell that about this fucking shit.
Is he wearing a merkin on his head?
He's wearing a merkin, bro. It looks like it looks like every year he goes to Justin Bieber's house and he scalps Justin Bieber and he says, you can remain popular because he's the devil now that you gave me your scalp hair, your luscious Bieber hair. And he puts it on his head and Justin Bieber gets to have like six more hits that year.
Mm, okay.
And he just keeps beeping it up. Get that bebop, b-ball hair. And then it ended with fucking classic. I'm sorry, Hellraiser 2.
I love Hellraiser 2.
Fucking great, man.
I mean, it's not as good as the original, but it's a good movie.
Hellraiser 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
Hellraiser 2, the first two Hellraisers are like, I love Hellraiser 3 because it's so fucking stupid, but Hellraiser 2 is actually like the Dr. Chouinard and all that. I loved it. So yeah, I was sad we missed that, but I was proud of myself this year, man.
I'm proud of you too. I'm proud of myself too because I was just like, I need to go home and go to bed.
I think that was a good way to do it because I was just afraid you were going to be like in hell trying to sleep. I afraid your neck was going to be bothering you. I got to stay so you could walk Nandor. Yeah, so it worked out good. And then you came back and we got to watch an awesome movie together and we got to leave.
Perfect. Yep.
It was awesome. And it was, man, dude, I will say, like, I know, like, you know, we got Nikki said he'll probably come back, and Jackson will probably come back again.
Yeah.
And hopefully next year, maybe Tom will come. And I love people experiencing the 24-hour horrorthon. It's not for everybody. A lot of people cringe when they hear, like, do they have to sit there in the chair? It's like a journey, though. It's an experience. You're sharing it with a bunch of people. Yep. It's like an excuse to just, like, eat some crappy candy together. you could take a break and go get food. It's just fucking a lovely experience. So I would urge anyone, if you're on the West Coast, you know, if you're friendly with us on Instagram already, like, reach out to us. We can, you know, give you the scoop on and stuff like that if you're thinking about it, and maybe you could stay in Philly and you know, see the sights in Philly for a little bit. And me and Steph would be happy to give you, like, a little list of things to do while you're here.
Yeah.
And that area of Phoenixville is very cool. The strip there is really cool. There's a lot of food choices.
The theater's really nice.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's really
nice. It's fucking beautiful. It's old school architecture inside. Yeah. And it's just, like, I love supporting them.
Yeah.
So check it out. You know, they do X-Fest will probably be the next big thing they do, which is a 12-hour. And I say every year, like, X-Fest is probably, I probably love X-Fest more than I love the 24-hour horrorthon, because I just see shit
that you would never
see. Yeah. Batshit crazy stuff.
One of our favorite movies.
They never disappoint.
Johnny Firecloud,
man. Right? Ooh, still the best thing I ever saw there.
Yeah.
But they always play great stuff.
Yeah.
So check out Exhumed Films. Hopefully they'll be finishing this space soon, and we'll talk about that as it happens. But yeah, it's the guys who run Exhumed Films have this huge space, basically, with, like, it's gonna be a movie theater, arcade, concessions, and they have all their 35mm and film stored there, and, like, temperature controlled and all that. Yeah, jazz.
It's gonna be over in New Jersey.
Nerd shit, dude. Yeah. I want to see more people. I want Jordan to come. I want Emma to come from Hanover. Emma can come.
Well, I mean, Jordan at least is in driving distance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like,
it's more doable.
I don't know why Cindy doesn't come every year. Probably because she has diarrhea. Fucking what a loser. All right. On that note, we will see you again in the cities of sin in Sodom and
Gomorrah.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.